What's going on, y'all? This is Mike Brown, and I want to welcome y'all to this week's episode of The Art of Letting Go. I'm actually recording this intro on my phone right now because I am a nomad, so I got to make this happen by any means necessary right now. This week's episode, I recorded at PNT Knitwear with Eddie Wayne. I stayed with Eddie Wayne for a month and a half while I was in New York, and we just talk about where we were at. It was a reflection episode, and it was really nice to reflect with a friend. And also, Thanksgiving week, we won't have an episode, so that'll give everybody some time to catch up, send me some questions, and enjoy this week's episode. Yo, what up? This is Mike Brown, and this is The Art of Letting Go. Today started out as a recap episode, which it still will be, but I'm glad I was able to get you on the episode. So today I have singer, rapper, songwriter, weed connoisseur, sneaker aficionado, Eddie Wayne.
Yeah.
In the building. How you feeling today?
Today I'm actually feeling really good, even though it's how it's looking outside today, but I feel real good today.
That's what's up. And I also want to shout out PNT Knitwear for hosting this episode. Shout out to Surge. This was last minute as hell. It definitely wasn't planned, but I'm glad to be in the space here recording. I'm feeling really good today. Today, especially recording today, just feels special because it's my last day in New York. And it's been a beautiful time being here. But I feel like I need some grounding. It's bittersweet because I really enjoy being here. And there's a version of me that didn't think that I would like New York when I was 17 years old. And I shout out to the people I went to college with.
You know, I say this, though? Yes. Like, when we were younger, bro, like, even myself, I never even thought in a million years I would even end up here. Like, being in Texas, like, I always thought it was just Texas for the longest time. And then I ended up here on, and I guess it was just, I swear, it was like the universe was like, oh, you need to be here type shit.
So for me, it was really my interactions with people. A lot of the people that I met in college from New York, I think they were just so loud at the time and so aggressive that I couldn't really connect. And it really forced me to like push myself away. And don't get me wrong, I had friends from New York and shit, but it kind of made me push myself away from the city. Yeah. And being here for the third time and spending so much time here, like I've really been able to connect with some really dope people that are from here, and they've shown me a lot of love. So it's been a beautiful time being here. And yeah, man, that is what brings us today. But I've been in New York for a month and a half, and I've been staying with you for a month and a half. So it's like, I know what this month and a half has been like for me, but what has it been like for you? Like, what has your part of the journey been like the past month and a half?
If we going off like a month ago, bro, like or a month and a half ago before you got here, I was actually like in a space where I was extremely lost for a minute, honestly. Yeah. And I had to find myself. And then I had a situation where my home was like crumbling, basically. And when you have somebody that you've been in something for so long with and you go through trials and you're going, but like trying to go through things together with that person, but then really dealing with things like your own personal troubles, and coming from where I'm from, it was like it was hard for me to actually express that. And I always thought that I was good because I really have to like tip my hat to my mother for really like balancing me and teaching me how to deal with shit. I had to break down. I like almost lost my home, and I had to find a way to get it back. But the only way I could really do that is like really having conversations with myself and try to like heal that part of myself that I was so afraid to deal with.
That's real, man. Yeah. And, you know, from my perspective, staying with you, like, that's how I know we really family more than friends, because I still felt connected to you, but I also felt like I couldn't allow myself to be too connected to what you had going on.
Yeah.
Just because I was out here on a mission.
Of course.
And, you know, there are versions of me that would have felt like, how can I fix this? How can I do that?
Yeah.
And, you know, like this version of me was like, man, I got to give you space to figure it out in your own time.
And when I tell you, I appreciate that shit so much, bro. Like, for real, for real.
Yeah.
Like, for like all of my people that like been around me that know me, and like I feel like you've got like in our time that we've known each other, you've really understood the core of me, because I feel like every time we hung out with each other, we are in each other's space.
Yeah.
So like I feel like I've really been able to really know who you are, and you know who I am, and you allowed me to sit over and have that space so I could process.
Yeah.
Yeah. So shout out, like for real, it's a big shout out to you.
I appreciate that, man. Like, you know, there were points for sure where I felt like you were a little disconnected just from just everything going on around you. You know what I mean? And I saw the places where you tried to make yourself be present, but there was so much going on around you that it was hard to be present. And yeah, man, I just wanted to acknowledge that before like really jumping in.
Yeah.
Because I think it's important for us as people and as friends, like really, really like be honest with our people. Yeah. And it's hard. It's hard because you just don't know how people will receive things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And shout out to that yoga dude. I will say.
Yeah, shout out to that yoga dude.
Yeah.
Like for real.
When I first got out here, we had a conversation. And he told me that there were points where he felt a little like he was being left behind by me, just as far as like how I'm moving and shit. And he just wanted to know, like, how could he better support me as a friend, like in this phase of my life? Because we've been knowing each other 20 years, but it's like, how do I support you in this phase of your life? And I never thought about that. I never thought about what does support look like for me, from my friends, from my family, from my people. But I'm curious to know, what does support look like for you in this phase of your life?
Support right now for me in this phase of my life is just, damn, that's a question that, to be honest with you, I don't even know. Just being there, like for the people that really do know me, like I just need people to like understand and believe in me as much as like as I'm trying to believe in myself right now.
Yeah.
Because all of my real friends, including yourself and everybody, like they really do fuck with me and they really believe in me and the type of shit that I'm trying to do right now. And the only thing I need my people to do is just be there and be themselves.
Yeah.
Because like right now I feel like the only person that like, because I felt like I've been holding myself back for so long because I was lying to myself for so long about either me being a black queer person and trying to hide it from my family, or even now, sometimes I'll like even try to catch myself sometimes on that shit. And I'm like, how the fuck am I doing that, bro? Like, go out and turn up. Like, this is what you want to do. Like, be yourself. And for the, like, and not until recently, and shit in this past month, that I really had to be like, nah, fuck that. Like, love who you gonna love and be who the fuck you gonna be. And like, whoever fucks with it, they gonna fuck with it. And if they don't, they don't.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Do you feel like you have to be a certain way in being a black queer man? And I asked that because, you know, the last episode I expressed how I felt about like
I saw that
not feeling connected to the
queer community,
and not even the queer community, just like the idea of what it looks like to be black and queer. But I'm curious to know, like, what is it for you? Because, you know, I will say for me, being in the space of the GLAAD Queer Summit, like, it felt like being in an HBCU. There was a spectrum of black queer people of all ages, of all, you know, just everything. And it's like my journey and my story is just as important as anybody else. And I'm curious to know for you, like, how do you feel? Because like you said, you came out late, you've been just really navigating your journey. But what is it like for you as far as like still being authentic to yourself and still embracing your full self?
When I first started coming out here and like even understanding what queer was, and then understanding that I was a black queer, well, you know, I'm always black first, you know what I mean? And my upbringing and how I was raised, I didn't even think there was a space for me.
Yeah.
And then when I saw, like when I started going out and being a part of nightlife and seeing the queer community and seeing the like the subcultures with even the queer community and being a black queer in all of this, I didn't feel like I saw myself for the longest time.
Yeah.
And it made me uncomfortable a lot of times, and I ended up trying to, like, even when I first started making music and taking it seriously, when I just started going out, I was trying to, like, really connect with that because I really fucked with the people that were outside, you know, or the people that I was, like, just around. And at first, I didn't feel like I belonged in there because I'm, like, I feel like I'm being fake at first and I'm not really being myself because, and then I started to realize it's, like, what this queer community is like, you being your authentic self is being queer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It took me a second to really actually figure that shit out, but I did. But now that I, like, figured that shit out, I was like, I belong in every room. You know what I'm saying?
That's real, man. That's real. And I think that we have to put ourselves in these rooms because it's important, man. It's important for, you know, those younger versions of yourself to see you.
Like, yeah, and to find us.
When I do this shit, I'm telling you, I see those other versions of me that was searching for somebody that looked like me to give me a roadmap. So, you know, even when I do talk that shit like, oh, I don't see myself here, I don't see myself there, I don't have to.
Yeah.
Because I'm putting myself out there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need nobody to show me what it's like to be Mike Brown because I'm living it. Yeah. But there's an old version of me that needed to see this as well. Mm-hmm. So that's why I do this. But again, kind of going back to the New York journey and just being out here, this is by far the most creative that I felt in a city. It really sparked me to get back into the podcast. Like, I was drained, I was exhausted, and I just needed space to really fall back in love with this shit. Like, I really, you know, as I say that out loud, I think about my connection to music and why I took such a break from it was I stopped loving it in a healthy way.
Mm.
And even with this, like, it was just like, I feel like I'm just doing this just to do it. I'm not doing it because it's bringing me joy, it's bringing me passion.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do you reconnect with that? And I'm curious to know for you, because like I told you the other day, I did like 10 songs being out here.
Yeah.
And how do you stay connected to your creativity, and how do you pivot when you need to pivot? Like, when you are in that space of like maybe having a block or, you know, just not being in space to create, how do you pivot? After you finish listening to this episode, make sure you take a minute in whatever streaming service you are listening to listen to my latest music project called Desert Thoughts. There's two versions of it. One is on SoundCloud, one is on all streaming services, featuring Yanni Blue, Eddie Wayne, DDM, and so much more. You guys will really enjoy it. It's like an inspirational piece that I needed some motivation while I was in the desert, so I wanted to share that with y'all. So take a listen to some of my deepest inner thoughts that I experienced while being in the desert on this nomadic journey. It's available now. Check it out.
This is a really great question. I know I had like a little creative like rut for a little minute. I was not on my creative moon, I like to always say. And literally just living and like going through your everyday, something's going to come back to you. Because especially if you, like, for me, there's always this cycle that I go through where sometimes I don't feel like writing, but like the experience that I went through is going to get me to where I want to sit over here and talk about it, write about it. Because like even right now, like this whole summer, I was in the space of like, I wanted to be creative so bad, but it wasn't coming out.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't getting out to, like, to where I wanted it to be. And once I went through all of my experience, especially with what I went through, like, what I call the icing on the cake this past month, like, oh, it gave me every single thing that I needed to do. And it gave me the push to where I wanted to be. So, like, basically, your experiences that we go through will lead us to sin over getting us back to glory, basically, is how I feel.
Yeah.
Because especially anytime any creative, I feel like, is in a rut, or if they don't, if they feel like they can't do something, because like they just need to sit with themselves for a while.
Yeah.
I feel like sitting with yourself and like really just taking life in, because I feel like as a creative, we're always trying to output or get things out of us to put back into the world. But then sometimes we gotta sit down and really take take the world in so we can put back out into the world.
And it's funny you mention that because I was thinking about your job.
Yeah.
And you take in a lot of energy. Like, just being a bartender, you connecting with a lot of people, you connecting with a lot of energy. How do you take care of yourself? Like, how do you, after you take in all this energy, release it and, you know, just bring some peace to yourself?
Bro, I'm gonna be completely honest. Weed. That's honest real. To God, like, I smoke, usually my whole routine is I smoke before I go into work. And I literally almost basically give myself a speech understanding that, like, everybody is not you. Mm-hmm. And you don't know what somebody else is going through. So when I'm there, I look at it as a job and understanding that I'm about to deal with a lot of people and their different emotions that day. Every day is not going to be peaches and cream where I can actually deal with it. But I find a way to deal with it so I don't let myself go.
Yeah.
But there was a time when I was like, I was in a rut and I was like really, I was really depressed actually. It was like, I don't know why it's just like hard for me to even say that word. But
why is it hard for you to say depressed?
I don't know, because it's one of those words for me that like I never even understood what it was for the longest time. And then now I understood that I was going through depression and now I'm comfortable enough to really say that. But at first I didn't want to even think that I was what I was going through for the longest time. And I'm basically recognizing that I was going through it. And sometimes I just don't want to recognize that I'm actually going through some shit.
Do you feel like not acknowledging when you feel depressed, it
makes it worse?
Well, not even makes it worse, but makes you cope in unhealthy ways.
Absolutely. For me, I was drinking, turning up.
That's for real.
Yeah, I was turning up. I was turning up like, yeah, I was just doing, I was just out late and like trying not to face everything that was going on with me. And it just caused me to just do everything else that was trying to push me away from what I had to deal with was myself.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, dude. I couldn't deal with myself, y'all. But yeah.
That's real. And I think that's honest to even admit, you know, that you can't deal with yourself. And I think we all go through that. And that's why I ask, like, you know, like how to cope. But also, you know, shout out to the song we just released, Vibe Calibration. But
facts.
Like, how do you calibrate your vibe? Like, what does that look like? And I ask that because for me, like, I have a morning routine. I tried to do a night routine. I couldn't stick to it. But I think when I get back to Houston, I'm going to really stick to a night routine. But
that's vibe calibrating too.
I pray every day. I journal every day. Mm. I read every day. I meditate most days. I need to exercise more because I know how it makes me feel.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even about looking a certain way. It makes me feel a certain way.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious, like, what are those things for you that calibrate your vibe?
For me, as of recently, because I've been trying to be, like, more healthy, or what I did that was helping me every day, I would get up and I would just go outside.
Yeah.
I would get up, go outside, and just take in some fresh air and just be with my thoughts, which I didn't even know was actually just meditating. And I was sitting over here and I was reading the book. Shout out to the Four Agreements.
Yeah. He still didn't respond to my email to come on the podcast, but it's all good. We're going to get him on.
Yes, we are. The Art of Letting Go is going to get them, get mm-hmm. buddy on. So I finally, I like to read right now is a thing that's been helping me out a lot. And then, or at least to help me start my day. And I'll drink some coffee and then I'll go to the gym. And then I'll come back, smoke, take a very nice shower, and then get to what I want to get to that day. And it always varies, but that's usually the things that I've been doing.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
The gym is helpful. Like the gym, dog, like, is so helpful, bro. Like, I recently lost like 20 pounds, and it's been like, when I tell you, like, basically the switch up for me, like, from everything that I was doing, understanding that that shit was like was wrong. Let me do some shit that's putting in my body, like health and knowledge. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah. So what does the future look like for Eddie Wayne? Like, where do you see the journey taking you?
To retirement? Shit. So not having to worry about a goddamn thing no more, and hopefully my like getting to the point of where my family, my mother is taken care of, and my partner is taken care of, and everything is good. Like I like that's where I see my journey going. And also music wise, I see myself like just getting to the masses and hopefully getting a million people to spend a dollar on me. That's where I really want to get to at least one day, and just making sure that I can get my music in movies and just making timeless shit for people.
Like, yeah.
So they can tell their children about it. That's where I'm see myself going. So yeah.
That's what's up.
And hopefully also get into the cannabis industry too.
I feel that.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I'm already in it, but I'm just not being paid for it. But
goddamn Skippy.
Shit. I wanna be in it paid. I love that.
Yeah.
It's James Woods, aka That Yogurt, with Feel Free to Feel Free, allowing yourself to take a moment to breathe before jumping into the next thing, before getting consumed with the next thought. Just breathe, notice, allow, nurture what's here right now, giving yourself space to breathe, to release, to connect deeper with yourself and those around you. Treat the next thoughts, the next minutes, the next section of your day like a journey. Make sure you have all the fuel you need to go on it. Take a deep breath and allow yourself to, as always, feel free to feel free. And namaste. Peace.
So now we are going to transition to a segment we call Ask Me a Question, where I give listeners the opportunity to ask us questions. So I am going to go through a couple that we have received. First one comes from... First one comes from my sister.
Okay.
And she asks, what do you like / dislike about your hometown? And for me, the thing that I like about where I'm from, Houston, Mo City to be exact, I love just the people. Like, people feel so good at home. It's so real.
Yeah.
It's so direct, but very loving. And also the food. You know, I love the food and I love the pace. And it's funny, as I say, I love the pace. Something I also dislike is the pace. Like,
facts.
I like to move. I be on the go. And sometimes it could be a little slow for me. But I acknowledge when I'm there, I need that slowdown.
So, facts.
You know, I do it. What about you?
I'm from Austin, Pflugerville to be exact. 6-0 in the building. But anyway, one thing I love about home is definitely the food, especially breakfast tacos. Like, I be fucking up breakfast tacos, as you know. I love them shits. But nah, home for me, like, I love being able just to come back. And also being from Texas is like, I live in New York. So like being able to go back home, I get to be able to slow down and get that energy in me where I can sit over here and recalibrate everything that I got going on. And like, I cannot stand it's like not as diverse as I want it to be. I mean, it's just like, it's so opaque back home now.
Mm.
At least from Austin. I used to be like the east side where I was from, like where I'm from, but like where a lot of my friends and my family resided and shit, it used to be over there, but then all of them are gone now. So I really can't stand the fact that they basically ran out all the black people that live where I'm from.
Damn.
Yeah, I can't stand that shit.
Well, Houston is very black.
As hell.
That is one thing I really do appreciate about Houston, is just tapping in with community.
Yeah. Because Austin, look, in Austin right now, and like shout out to my boy Dexter McMarion. He literally is like the only, I feel like he is black nightlife, at least he basically is black nightlife out there. And it's like a niche market, like in general, because it's like literally like in all of them people that live in Austin, it's like we like this big, we like a sprinkle out there right now. It's crazy.
Damn, I appreciate that question. Our second question comes from John Gonzalez, and that question is, how do you deal with transitions? Do you want to take that one first, or you want me to take it first?
I think you definitely should take that first.
So how do I deal with transitions? I don't. No, I'm playing. For me, I think when I realize that I'm in transition, because sometimes when you're in it, like, you're just not even aware of it. But when I realize that I'm in transition, I'm really tapping into my tools again.
Yeah.
Tapping into those things that make me feel good. Tapping into those things that, like, reset my energy. And I feel like I live in transition. I feel like once I'm comfortable, I'm uncomfortable again, and I have to find that next comfort. So I feel like I'm always on a quest for a higher level of comfort. So maybe I'm always in transition, but, like, right now, being in transition of, you know, being a nomad and figuring out life, like, going to Houston is a reset for me. Like,
yeah,
being able to go to Houston and go be around family and, you know, taking that energy, that's a reset. But I also am conscious of, like, okay, there's something after that.
Yeah.
Like, that's not it. So I think I'm always in the space of what's next. So that's why I'm always in transition.
Yeah. For myself as well, like, for the longest time, I thought I was stuck in the Matrix, basically, like, in the same spot and couldn't get out. You remember, like, when Neo was in, like, the little train area?
Yeah.
Like, he got stuck there. That's where I feel like I was for this past couple of years, for a long time.
Yeah.
But knew that there was something coming. And now that I feel like I'm in, like, this transition and, like, or this reset in my life right now, I am understanding that it's time to sit over here and make this change. And,
yeah.
And embracing it, actually. Like, and so that leads us how I deal with understanding that it is coming, and how I'm going to deal with it is that you have to deal with it.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you don't deal with it, you just get stuck, and nobody wants to be stuck or complacent in where they are.
Yeah.
And if you are, I'm sorry. That's crazy to me.
No, that's real. That's real.
We always got to change. We're always going to be in a constant transition. Because, mm-hmm, like, we don't, like, we're aging every day. So something's going to have to change. Something's going to have to transition at some point. So, yeah.
Thank you, John, for that question. And our last segment of the show is called 5 Questions of Freedom, sponsored by Feel Free to Feel Free. And I'm going to ask you 5 questions, and you can respond to them any way that you like. Okay. So the first question is, New York or Houston?
Bruh, you wild for that. Ooh. At this stage in my life, I'm still going to stick with New York.
Okay.
I'm still going to stick with New York because I'm not finished with it.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
Basketball or music is my second question.
Wow, you're terrible. Right now, definitely music.
Okay.
Basketball was my entire life, bro. Like, it was my entire life. Like, only thing I thought about, ate, slept, shit, was basketball. Like,
yeah.
But music has been the best therapy for me.
That's
and
what's
it's
up.
Gonna be the answer is music.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
Third question, if you could work with anybody, dead or alive, who would you work with?
I go through this question with myself a lot, right? And right now, especially if I could work with anybody off the top of my brain, it would probably be James Fauntleroy.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
Why him?
I feel like he's attached to a lot of beautiful music that I really connect to. And I think he would really help me broaden my songwriting and, like, tap into myself more, especially melodically. I feel like with you working with me, you know, like, I feel like I have a lot of tricks with how I use my voice and, like, how I like to throw things out into the world. But I feel like him, his sound and stuff will make mine more, like, have more butter to it. And I love everything that he does and that he creates. So, yeah.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
Fourth question is, what advice would you give to your younger self?
Be gay. Be yourself, bro. Like, it's okay, honestly. But I would give my advice to my younger self, it's okay to be yourself.
That's real. Before we go to the fifth question, I want to ask you, we talked about coming out and you said you probably came out like 4 years ago. Why do you think it took so long to come out?
Honestly, I had a complete fear of losing the things that I loved. And it was encompassing. Like, it literally, like, engulfed every single part of me that I thought I was going to lose everybody that I would love. Like, I thought I was going to lose, especially with all of my family in Houston. which is my dad's side of the family, I didn't come out to them. I did not come out to them at all. My other side of the family, shout out to them. Like, they've been embracing, they cool as hell and don't care. But, you know, that other side of your, you know, you, everybody got them two sides of the family. The one that's, like, turned up a little, like to have fun. And then my dad's side of the family is, like, they like to have fun with the asterisk on it. Like, but, like, follow God only type shit.
Yeah.
But then not doing exactly what they are supposed to be doing. I'm like, y'all can't be trying to talk about God and, like, only say certain things in the Bible and shit, and y'all don't do it. So, like, yeah, nah, fuck that. Like, it took me that long because I was fucking, I thought I was about to lose all of my family, on my dad's side of the family especially.
That's very relatable to me because I felt that same way as well. Like, everybody would disown me. And I think that is why it is so important for people to create safety for, like, their loved ones, because when you don't, people go and seek it other places.
Facts.
So
I left.
Yeah.
Bro, I left. I was dating someone, and this person basically gave me an excuse to leave Texas so I wouldn't have to deal with anything that I was dealing with back home. Because I was like, I thought if I stayed in Texas that I was going to off myself or some shit.
Damn.
From the shit that I was, like, battling, like, every single day. I went from being somebody that I felt like I was looking, everybody was looking at me to do something so big with basketball, and then, but I'm actually dealing with something internally that is killing me because I didn't know how to actually be my true self around the people that I cared about so much. So it was like, it was literally crippling to the point of where, like, you know what? I came up here, I felt something when I came up here to visit, and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna ride this out, and let's work on it together. And then when he and I broke up, I was like, oh shit, it's surfing. I'm riding a wave right now.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Man, that's a journey. Yeah. Which leads me to our fifth and final question. What is a reminder that you would like to give to your future self?
To keep going. That every day is not going to be the same. And do not get caught up on the past. Because the past has happened. And you can keep going. Like, the past is going to stay there. It's not, you can't change the past, but you can dictate what the future can be if you put that foot forward. My mother always says this, and it's probably my favorite saying that I always say, is that shit happens.
Yeah.
But when shit happens, you wipe your ass and you move on. Straight up.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Shout out to her. Yeah.
That's what's up, man. Man, where can the people find you?
So you can find me on Instagram, because that's what I like to use mostly. I am at @EddieWayne_ on Instagram. I'm on TikTok as well, but that's under construction at the moment. Currently working on the Patreon and everything else too. And my government name, I'm not giving out because I don't trust you crazy hoes. If you know me, you know me. That's it.
That's hilarious. Well, Eddie Wayne, I appreciate you coming on this episode. I'm glad we was able to get this done before I left. Y'all will get my New York recap as a Patreon exclusive, so you could log into Patreon.
Subscribe to his Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
Shit. Y'all spend my money on other shit.
Right. Look, I always tell people, like, an eighth of weed is $35. I'm worth an eighth of weed.
Shit, you worth more than an eighth of weed.
Exactly.
That nigga gold, bro.
Eddie Wayne, thank you for being on the show.
For real, thank you for having me, bro. Like, it's crazy. Like, universe thing, shit just happens.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for real. But thank you for real for having me on.
Of course. PNT Knitwear, thank y'all so much for having us. Thank you guys for listening. This is Mike Brown, and this is The Art of Letting Go. Peace.
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of The Art of Letting Go. If you like what you heard, please be sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to this podcast, as well as leave me some feedback. Let me know what you think. Let other people know what you think. Write a review on that site that you listen to podcasts on. Yeah. Also, if you would like to support the podcast, we are on Ko-fi.com. You can send me a coffee. We're on Patreon, where I give more exclusive content. So if you want to tap into the exclusive, you can do that there on Patreon. Merch coming soon. I know I took the merch away. Y'all been asking for merch. I'm going to bring the merch back. I'm going to bring my website back. Y'all got me doing some work, but I'm enjoying it right now. So thank y'all so much for tuning in. This is Mike Brown, and this is The Art of Letting Go. Peace.